sing in our hearts, we celebrate. For all you've done and who you are, we lift your name. High above all other names, you are Lord of heaven and earth. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Celebrate, for all you've done and who you are, we lift your name. High above all other names, you are Lord of heaven and earth. We celebrate, you put dancing in our heart, we celebrate. All you've done and who you are, we lift your name. High above all other names, you are Lord of heaven and earth. You are Lord of heaven and earth. I'll dance, I'll sing, giving glory to the King. I'll praise your name, for you reign. I'll dance, I'll sing, giving glory to the King. I'll praise your name, for you reign. And we'll dance, we'll sing, giving glory to the King. We'll praise your name, for you reign. In our hearts, we celebrate. For all you've done and who you are, we lift your name. High above all other names, you are Lord of heaven and earth. You are Lord of heaven and earth. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Brothers and sisters, we come to celebrate and we come before our God with the words of our call to worship that can be found in your bulletins. Will you join me in those words, please? As we focus on the story of Abraham this morning, in this mission month, God calls us. Reluctant to deny ourselves, convinced that everything depends on us. In this mission month, we long to follow Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen.
Please stand and sing.
Sing to the King who is coming. Jesus the Lamb. Christ is raised to Jesus. Sing to the King.
Done and who you are, we lift your name high above all other names.
Do we have a reason to celebrate? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is that the response, right? I pray that as we gather here this morning, we do recognize that we have a reason to celebrate. That hopefully there is a reason to be thankful that we were able even to get up this morning. That the sun is shining, that the day that this God has created for us is new, and that it is a good day. For maybe no other reason, maybe we're struggling to find that reason, but maybe for no other reason than the fact that we can be here to worship freely together. Will you join me in a word of prayer? God, within our hearts, we know that you are the reason for celebration. No matter what our bodies may be telling us first thing this morning, but God, help us to know that celebration. Help us to know that joy that you reign in such a way, oh God, that we recognize your presence here. That we're able to give thanks for those who are next to us and who surround us. For this community of faith with which you have blessed us. For so many reasons, oh God, we have reason to celebrate today. Thank you for your so many gifts. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, Amen. Brothers and sisters, we have a loving God who cares for each one of us so deeply, who longs for us to be able to celebrate, who longs for us to have joy within our hearts that is incomparable, that can come from nowhere else. And this joy is infectious. So we're challenged to spread it in a good way. You know, we hear about all those other infections that we don't want spread, right? But this is the joy of the Lord that exists within our heart. Who God says, my grace and my peace be with you. Now go and share it. So please take a moment and share that peace with each other. I'm going to invite forward Meryl Pontier for our children's message and all of the children that I think we as adults, come on down children, as I talk and give a little more instruction. I think that we as adults hope that what we do here and that the joy that we celebrate here is passed along to these children. And likewise, that they will continue to pass on this joy. And I think we receive joy from them being here and hearing what they have to say and how they share with us as well.
Well, good morning, guys. How are you? Good. Oh, good. I'm glad. Well, I was reading a story in the Bible this morning, and I want to tell you a little bit about it. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I find these Bible stories a little weird. I do. They're very strange. This is how this one started out. God spoke to Abram. Okay, now, if God spoke to me, like let's say he all of a sudden right here in the middle of church goes, "Hey, Meryl, hi, it's God." I don't know about you, but I think I'd freak out a little bit. Be like, really? Now, here's the next really interesting part. Abraham starts to listen. Now, I would already be way down the street, running myself crazy, thinking, whoa, I don't know what that was, but that was really weird, and I'm not going to stay there and listen any longer. But God says, Abram, and Abram listens. He stays there. Now, here comes the next really weird part. God says to Abram, okay, Abram, I want you and your wife Sarai, and you're, you know, you can pick up your stuff, and you are going to leave everything that you know and love and your neighborhood and your friends, and you're leaving. You got to go. Again, now, if God said to me, okay, Meryl, guess what? You and your husband Scott are going to pack up all your stuff, and you're going to go to some little dinky-winky town in Kentucky. That's where I want you to go. I think I'd go, nice try. No, I don't think so. But now here's the next thing. God says to Abraham, you do this, and you're going to be a blessing. Isn't a blessing a good thing? When you get blessings, those are really good things. So God says to Abram, you're going to be a blessing to some other people or to wherever you go. Now, even if God said to me, Meryl, you and Scott are going to be a blessing in this little teeny tiny podunk town in Kentucky, I think I would say, find somebody else. I'm not going. But, again, weird thing, weird thing. Abraham packs up all his stuff, takes his wife, and off they go. Wow, that's pretty incredible. Packs up everything and leaves. Now, again, I'm not so sure I'd do that. But here's what's really cool. Abram trusted God because he figured God knew what he was talking about. And sometimes that's hard for us to kind of get the hang of, is that we need to trust God. Now, here's the next thing. It's not Abram's time anymore. God doesn't usually like shout down from the heavens and call our names. So how do we know that God's talking to us?
In our heart.
Oh my God. He said in our hearts, if you didn't hear him. That's exactly how we know that God is talking to us. There's like this little feeling inside of us that says, you know what? This is what I want you to do. He kind of grabs us in our heart. And sometimes when we get those feelings in our heart, that inside voice that says, this is what I want you to do, we don't usually want to do it sometimes. It's kind of like if, who can I do? All right, you're in school, and in walks this new girl. Never saw her before. Never saw her before. And she looks really scared. And she looks kind of frightened. And she looks kind of sad because she doesn't know anybody. And all of a sudden you get this feeling inside you that says, you know what? I should go up and say hi to her. Would you want to do that? Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Maybe not, because you got your own friends already. But that voice keeps saying, go up and talk to her. Because she feels sad and she wants somebody to kind of talk to her and make her feel like she's part of the group. So you, instead of going, I don't really want to do this, you listen to that voice inside of you and you go up to that girl. And you know what? That girl feels better. And you're a blessing. You're a blessing, yes, because now that girl feels good. And she's happy that someone came up to her and took her kind of into the group. So God says, listen to me. And sometimes that means just that little feeling inside your heart that says you need to do something. And it might not be exactly a fun thing to do, but you could become a blessing. And you know what? It doesn't say it in the part of the Bible that I was reading today about Abram, but he goes on to be this enormous blessing because he listened to God. Let's close our eyes and have some prayer. Dear God, help us to hear your voice, however it may come to us. Help us to do what you would like us to do so that we may become a blessing for you. Amen.
And you can head to Sunday school. Let's see. Emily, you go with Anthony, right?
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread, your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you.
Pray with me, please. Lord God, as we sing these words and sing these songs, may they be our prayers and our cries to you, that as we continue in our worship together and as we seek you in your word, that it would be the nourishment for our souls. We pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. As you're finding your seats, I'll ask you to grab your bulletins, and I'm going to invite forward Bob Kaiser, who's going to make an announcement on behalf of the Building and Grounds Committee. While he does that, while he's coming forward, I'll highlight a few other things. If you turn to the second page in your liturgy for this week, you'll see the reminder what the sermon passage is going to be for next Sunday. If you're looking for something to read for your devotions this upcoming week, encourage you to look at that last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verses 10 through 15 will be the focus of our sermon next week. Bob?
Good morning, everyone. With the chill in the air this morning, it's that time of year again, and the Building and Grounds Committee will be sponsoring fall cleanup, not this next Sunday, but the following Sunday on November 5th. And we'll be doing cleanup between 8 a.m. and 12 noon, and we encourage you, if you're available, to come for an hour, a couple hours, or the entire 4 hours. We have both inside cleanup work that needs to be done, as well as outside work. So both guys as well as gals are invited to come. And if you can stay the entire 4 hours, there is a special reward, and that is Doris makes chili for us all. And it's worth staying the 4 hours for Doris's chili. So hope to see you on November 5th.
So what if I come for the last hour, Bob? And do I get chili still? Thank you, Bob, for all you do to help to coordinate, and certainly to everybody on the Building and Grounds Committee, especially post-flood stuff. There's been a lot of work being done around the property, and we're very thankful for all that volunteer in that way. Turn with me, if you will, to page 5 of the announcements. A couple other things here. The very top, underneath the Christian mission heading, I want to give a huge thank you. I think you've heard announcements a couple of weeks prior. Because of SHIP, the Samaritan homeless interim program in Somerville, lost a lot of their stuff due to flooding. And, you know, thanks be to all of you that there were 41 trays of baked ziti that you all prepared, that you helped to make available to help stock them back up for all of the homeless folks that are in need of food, especially at this time. And underneath that heading, another somewhat hunger-related message. If you're interested in joining in the crop walk, that's going to be next Sunday, or if you're interested in sponsoring Fred Yarnell or Pastor Todd, please read for further details there as far as that upcoming event. And then turn over, if you will, with me to page 6. And underneath the youth setting, you may have even seen our sign out front already, the senior high youth group, in part in preparation for the summer mission trip to Vermont. Similar to last year, is going to be hosting a spooky trail next Saturday from 7 to 10 p.m. Back in the playground there, and we want to encourage you to pass that word along. All are invited and welcome, and hopefully it'll be a fun, kind of scary time for everybody. Will you join me now again in prayer as we continue our worship together? God, we are thankful for the blessing to be here together. We are thankful for your word that instructs us and encourages us. And we thank you for your living word, O Jesus, that you are the example and that you are the one who lives within us, that we as your church might be a blessing to this community in which you have placed us. Help us as we meet together today to hear that word and to be encouraged, to be challenged, O God, to be more and more like you. We pray all this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen. I don't see a lector coming forward. Does that mean I'm reading? I can probably read it from this Bible rather than from the other one. Well, you're listed, but apparently you didn't know about it, huh? That's okay. I got it. Thank you, Lord. No blame whatsoever. We can still hear the word of the Lord, right? If you'd like to follow along, you can open up your Bibles to page 8 and 9 for our story of Abraham and Sarah found in Genesis chapter 12. Listen for the word of our Lord. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you," God said, "and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarah and his brother's son Lot, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." And so he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there, Abram moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent. With Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord. So if this story wasn't super familiar to you before, I think you got a pretty good overview of it from Merrill in the children's message. And I think the question that One of the questions that she asked, that I think all of us need to ask, is, how is God speaking? God spoke to Abram and said to Abram, go and do this. And just for clarification here, I think even as we read the call to worship, is it Abram? Is it Abraham? Is it Sarai? Is it Sarah? If we know the story a little bit, if we continue on in Genesis, their names change, right? As a sign of God's blessing, as is a common occurrence in much of Scripture, the changing of one's name and the meaning and significance of it. So if you remember Abraham and Sarah, these are the same folks. So the question is, how is God speaking? Or maybe the additional question, is God speaking to us today? What do you think? Yes? No? Head nod? Shake of the head? I think we heard from our children this morning, right? That I think almost any of us, if we heard that loud, booming voice to go and do something, we'd be most inclined to do it if it meant to maybe leave all that we knew here and go to some podunk town in Kentucky. Let's see if we can negotiate God, right? But in this, we hear and we see the message of this faithful follower of Abram, who hears God's voice and says, all right, I'll do it. The answer is yes, I will follow. Is that the answer that is first on our tongues when God may speak within our hearts, when God may speak within this community of faith, as maybe, for example, you heard the announcement last week or 2 weeks ago that said Ship is in dire need of food because of all of the flooding, and there are people who are longing for food, and you heard that call, and you stocked that freezer in the kitchen and said, you know what? God has blessed me with the ability to have an oven, maybe to prepare the ziti, with the funds available to make the ziti, so that I can be a blessing to others. You heard that call and you responded. So is God speaking today? Yes, I think so. The question is, are we going to respond to it? We hear this story, and I think for me, it absolutely shifted my frame of mind about the church when I heard this story said in a different way. Because I don't know how many of you, your experience with the church in the past. But for me, I often thought of the church as, well, it's the place that I go to on Sundays, right? And it's a good place, and it's a, you know, it's a way that I can meet God. But that's really about where it stopped. You know, as a child growing up, I knew that my parents were involved and they encouraged me to be involved. And I knew that my parents gave their offerings on a regular basis. But, you know, really it was very distant. Was very disconnected from my own personal experience. But when I heard this passage, as God called Abraham, who is our forerunner in the faith, who is our ancestor, because without Abraham, or Abram at this point, do you all realize there probably quite likely wouldn't be us? Because it was through Abram whom God called, who started the formation of this people of God. And we had the Jewish people, and then we had Jesus and the Christian people that built on this same Jewish tradition. And so, to go back, there's this formation of this people of God and this gathering and this church community. But that church community was not formed. Just so God said, well, Abram, you go to this foreign land because you know what? There's this gorgeous swimming pool. And there are these beautiful palm trees. And there are these nice rafts and wait staff that serve you Mai Tais. It works, right? Hey, if God's calling me to that, where do I sign up? Right? No, God says, well, I am going to bless you. But it's not just so you show up on Sunday and have this sort of disconnect and receive from God and that's all there is to it. And I think you all get this really well. I've been blessed by all of you in my almost 4 years here at North Branch. I think that you get it, that this isn't just the place that you show up and then you're done with it. But you're a people that walk together. You're a people that sees needs within this community and says, I have been blessed and I want to be a blessing. You and this congregation at North Branch says that, you know, when we give our tithes and offerings, it's not just so we can hoard it up and store it up and make the church look great, as I think maybe my perception was of the church. But no, you give of your time as volunteers. You give of what you have been blessed with, be it cheese and noodles or the ability to come on a work day, and your finances, so that others might be blessed by God. Is that not the story of Abram right here, responding to that call? I want to encourage you. I want you to hear this season of stewardship, that naughty little word that nobody likes to hear in church, right? Oh my, they're talking about money again. But I think we, unfortunately, like, say, my past experience, was there was this disconnect, this sense that whenever I gave my money to the church or my parents gave the money to the church, that they were growing rich and fat. Right? I hope you don't see that here. I hope that you see here that when you think about how God has blessed you and how you can be a blessing to others, and as you think about whether it's filling out that stewardship card next Sunday, or whether you think about maybe I can help on building and grounds cleanup day, that I have been blessed so that I can be a blessing to others. That if you make those pledges and offerings next Sunday, that pledge, and you know what? Something happens next year, and you lose your job, and you can't make it up on those pledges that you had first thought you would. I hope that you know that you have a congregation that is here to bless you. In the ways that we have been blessed, we seek to be a blessing of others. I pray that through our experiences here, we might know that this is a community which we can trust. In the same way that Abram in this story did, trusted God. Believed that God wasn't just saying, well, maybe you should go to this foreign land and maybe I'll be with you. But no, it's that promise that God says, I will go with you. And in the good times and in the difficult times, I will still be there with you. And for us to translate to today, we, as a community of faith, are blessed to be a blessing. We will walk with you in your good times, in your times of plenty. And we, as God's representatives to you here on earth, want to be here in your times of need as well. I hope, as you hear this stewardship season, that's the message that comes across. That as we ask you to make pledges, that you think of it as how has God blessed me? And what am I trusting God for during the course of the next year? And that's the pledge that you write. And that you know that as next year goes on, we will seek to be a blessing to our community as you have done so well in the past, and to each other as well. I think that's the goal, and that's the hope that as we've talked about this hand stuff, and as you were here, if you were here last Sunday, you heard Pastor Todd preach about God being, is God the one with the closed hand and the closed fist that we have to peel those fingers back to be able to get that blessing from God? Or is he the God of the open hand who says, I want to bless you. I want, as a community of faith, you to be blessed because this is my message for the world, that I am a God who longs to have a relationship, who longs to spread the good news. And if you have the little prayer cards in your pews there, actually I think they're your visitor cards. Look if you will in your pews. Prior to last week, Todd had been preaching on, and we're still, I think, get caught up with the language sometimes. You know, the vision statement, that's the longer description. And then there's our mission statement, which we hope is something that we can all remember and we can all identify with, and that I think comes from long, long ago, this message of Abram. Blessed to be a blessing, or as Todd set up last week, on the inside of that visitor card, where it says, receiving from God's hand. What does the second line say? Will you all read it out loud for me? We reach out to the world. We receive from God's hand. We are blessed so that we can hoard it and so that we can store up our goods and feel fat and great. No. We receive so that we can be a blessing to others. And I think as a witness and a testimony to that, I'm going to invite forward now Jamie Del Rocco, who was in our most recent new members class. He's got, let's see, one son who's made it through the preschool, got a daughter who's currently in the preschool, and two more that in a few years, that wreak havoc in the nursery right now, as he tells me.
That's right.
So if you want to stand back here so this microphone will pick you up sure. And can hear your story a little bit.
A little different up here. My wife actually told me this morning she had a dream that the microphone went out. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Jamie Del Rocco. I'm married to Rita. We have four children, as Mark just said, Anthony, Sophia, and 16-month-old twin girls, Ava and Julia. And for those here who have known me before joining the church, you're all still scratching your head that I'm the guy up here, that I'm here doing this. And I'll tell you why. 6 months ago, I was a very devout non-believer. You would think that the guy with four kids would need some God in his life, but I felt I could do it myself, and it doesn't make a difference if Jesus is with us or not. But we're talking about now, and I used to say things like, I can do this without God. Jesus is a crutch for the weak. I was big on that phrase. I would talk with believers and couldn't understand how they could believe wholeheartedly that there's this guy all around us at work all the time. I would leave these talks and would think about it for some time, and it would really bother me that people out there really needed this false hope to get them through life. And then one day, my wonderful wife comes to me and says, blah, 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 blah. Yes, dear, blah, 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 discount on preschool if we join the church. What do we have to do? So, sweet is that apple pie. That apple pie we bought yesterday from the sale. Thank you to whoever made it. That was delicious. She says, well, it's only a few Sundays, but you have to be nice. Okay. So we sign up and go. And I'm ready for this. Nobody's going to sway me. I'm in it for the discount. I'll be nice, but I'll get through this and save a few bucks. No problem. So here we are at the first class, and I'm ready. What's the deal with no meat on Friday? What's your opinion on homosexuality as opposed to what the Bible says? And then enter Pastor Todd. Cool as a cucumber. And I listen. I actually listen to what he has to say, and it makes sense. This is not what I expected. He's not like a Catholic priest at all. He's approachable. He's a regular guy. So I started to look forward to class every week. Started listening to 99.1. I'm getting the family to church, even taking the four kids, myself, so my wife, who works every other weekend till 3 a.m., can sleep. It's becoming important to me. It's becoming important to my family. I'm praying. I'm stopping by the church to pray in the sanctuary when I have a chance. I listen to the Bible while I'm working. I'm taking the Experiencing God class, which I've missed a few times because it's hard to get a babysitter for four kids. And I've done all these things. I got to read. I got to give a blessing at a dinner for my friend's wedding. That was very special to me. But one of my most special moments so far was at work. I entered the job at this lady's house, and she stopped me. And she said, I really appreciate all the time you're taking and what you're doing. I appreciate it. I know it's taken a long time, but I thank you. I can tell that you're a craftsman. And I explained to her that I've recently found God. And she had told me that she used to be a deacon and lost her way about 3 years ago. So I prayed with her. And she told me that God brought me here not to do the tile work, but to bring her back to faith. So what does this all mean? Excuse me. I've realized that Jesus isn't a crutch. He takes the crutches away. My family has been welcomed into this great community. You people are great. You smile. You encourage. You lend generators when our power goes out. And most importantly, you tell us that our crazy kids are precious. So I thank you all for being you. I especially thank Mark and Todd. Or if they've ever told you, I have used up most of those cards with them. I call them quite often. So if I can gather myself together here, I would like to read Luke 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he is found? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. I'm happy to be part of that 99.
Brothers and sisters, this is the ministry that you provide. This is the ministry that you support so that others might continue to know the good news of Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me, please? God, we thank you for the way that you have moved and have spoken and are continuing to speak in our lives. So that when we hear that word of stewardship, that it wouldn't be that naughty word that we don't want to hear and put our fingers in our ears, but that we think of stories like this, that we think of the ways that how we have served and ministered and supported the ministry of this congregation have changed lives, have brought the sheep back into your fold, and as Abram was, that we might continue to be blessed to be a blessing, that we have received from you, O God, and that we might reach out to the world. We thank you for this, O Lord, and all God's people said. Amen. Amen. Please grab your bulletins and join me in our confession of faith, and if you'll stand as just kind of a recognition of what these words mean and what these words say. If you were here last week, Pastor Todd used the Heidelberg Catechism, which is a formative catechism for the Reformed Church. He used question and answer 26 about receiving from God's hand, and I think this continues in that same spirit, how we receive and then are called to reach out. What do you understand by the providence of God? His hand, heaven and earth, and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. You may be seated as we take of our tithes and offerings. Give as God has blessed you, and know that all that is given is to be a blessing to this community.
It's coming down, it's coming nearer to this old town. Rich and poor, weak and strong, it's bringing mercy, it won't be long.
And found tears of joy and tears of shame are washed forever in Jesus' name.
Healing rain, it comes with fire.